I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petrocallo. Thank you so much for joining us in our misery.
Yes, thank you so much. We have suffered again this week. We hope that you enjoyed What Women Want, because we certainly did not.
No.
But hopefully you enjoyed our take on it. Really enjoying hearing about everybody's wine drunk self-care on Friday nights or Saturday nights. I'm really enjoying reading about those. And I'm also really enjoying that everyone loves the right. I'm abroad. I told you it was going to be fucking magical.
Yes, definitely.
Exactly. So if you like that episode, if you like us, please head over to iTunes and give us 5 stars, rate and review. The review part's not so much important, but if you feel the need to express your
inner thoughts.
Yeah, if you just want to tell us about, you know, the complexities of life or something like that. I mean, please do share those things with us, but
yes,
just the 5 stars will work.
5 stars are super important on the business end, and it makes doing this, it makes sitting through bad movies worth it. So please, please do that if you want to help us out at all.
Yeah, exactly. We endured another 2-hour and 6-minute movie. I swear to God, we did not plan this, but since it's Valentine's Day, this week, I know that there's a movie called Valentine's Day, but I didn't know if I could sit through that star-studded piece of shit. So,
plus, also, let's full disclosure: we would have had to rent it again, and we had this.
Yeah.
We had this sitting there. So
we had this DVD.
That's another thing. It's also out of laziness.
Didn't even stream. I had to find this DVD because I have it, and then because I was like, I'm not fucking renting this.
I'd like to discuss why you have this DVD. Number one, also,
my sister bought it for me.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway,
that's a fine excuse.
The movie is P.S. I Love You. Starring
Jesus.
Gerard Butler and Hilary Swank. My sister bought this for me. My sister really loves chick flicks. I do not. So I've always had to watch all of her stupid chick flicks. And yeah, so.
My goodness. She needs punishment for this. She should be punished for this. You should not buy her Christmas presents ever because of this.
Yeah, well, anyway. The IMDb description for this movie. By the way, I typed it into earlier as IDMB.
Okay.
So I just wanted to tell you that I do not have a perfect IMDb today.
Well, that's all right. You said it now, that's fine.
Yeah.
So that's all right.
All right.
Your typing isn't on trial here.
The IMDb description is, a young widow discovers that her late husband has left her 10 messages intended to help ease her pain and start a new life.
That sort of happened. There was 10 messages. I don't know how much her pain was eased, but there was 10 messages.
Was there 10?
I don't fucking
know. I actually
didn't
count.
Did you count? Yeah,
no,
we're not counting.
Count.
I'll take your word for it that there was 10 movie. How about that?
There's 10.
There's probably 8. They cut
2
out for time.
Yeah.
You know.
The fun fact this week is that during the filming of that strip sequence with Gerard Butler, what I'm talking about? Where he has like the
beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah,
boxers on. Well, the suspenders hit Hilary Swank on the forehead and she had a cut and had to be taken to the hospital where she received several stitches.
Jesus Christ.
So this movie almost didn't happen.
Fuck. So it was a tragedy on many levels, that scene.
Yes.
For medical reasons and for my own psychological reasons and anything else you could name.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into it, shall we?
Unfortunately, yes, we shall.
The movie starts with some very early 2000s alternative rock music, and we see Swank and Gerard Butler walking. You can tell Swank is super pissed.
You know it's that time period, too, because it's a real tight snare drum.
Yeah, real tight snare drum.
That's all you hear in that music.
And it's kind of like an Irish, like, alternate, like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So Swank's pissed. She's walking super far in front of Gerard Butler, and he's just trying to get her to talk and, like, ask what he did wrong or, like, what she's mad about, whatever. And so then he's like, you're not going to tell me until we get in the apartment, are you? And she's like, no. So apparently she's super mad as soon as the doors close because Gerard Butler said in front of her mother that he wanted to have a baby, but she did not. So she's mad.
Yeah. Now, I hate these scenes for this reason, okay?
Okay.
They show them entering the apartment building and he's saying all this stuff. They had to come from wherever they were, her mother's house, presumably.
Yeah.
So this whole trip, what's he been saying the whole trip? Nothing? She's been silent. He's been silent. And then when they go in the finally get in the apartment, he's like, you're not going to tell me what's going on? She didn't tell you the whole way home. She's obviously not going to tell you until you get inside. So
yeah.
What? I hate that. I hate those conversations that jump in the middle to make it sound casual, but really they should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
Logically. It's so annoying. And every one of these terrible movies does that.
Yeah, no, it really does. So I understand where Hilary Swank is coming from. It's embarrassing, I guess, to hear that, you know, to have your husband say, yeah, like, to your mom, like, by the way, you know, I want to have kids, but she doesn't want to have kids. And apparently they have a whole plan for it.
And she said, yeah. He said, yet. He didn't say she doesn't want to have kids. He said, yet.
So I get
it. Fine.
I feel like that's not something to get mad at. I think that that's just something to break balls over. Like, oh, yeah, so you had to tell my mom that. Like, what the hell? You know, like, not getting mad. And I understand because I'm super crazy. I get it. Like, there's things that, like, but this is just not a battle that I would fight.
No, and it's completely unreasonable. And you probably would fight it if it came up, honestly. It just seems like this is a fight. No offense, women, but this is a fight that only a woman would start. This is not a fight that a guy would start at all. We wouldn't care. Trust me,
well,
you're not a guy.
Obviously,
I wouldn't care either way.
Ladies would start a fight about this.
If you said to my mother, he doesn't want to have kids right now, I wouldn't give two shits. You could tell my grandmother. You could tell everybody I've ever met. You can tell the Pope. I don't care. Even if it was true or not. It makes no difference to me. But this woman, she had to be very, well, I get it, though. You know what?
They've been married for like 10 years, though.
And I also take it back because of who her mother is. Her mother being Kathy Bates, being on top of her shit all the time.
Yeah.
I could see it being more about that. Like, why'd you tell my mother that? Don't tell her. Now she's going to break my balls.
It would be her first grandbaby. So that's kind of like they've been married for 10 years.
I could see that.
Hey, what the fuck, man?
But she's also like 30. So, I mean, maybe they don't want to have kids yet. Calm down. They're not, you know,
I know,
42.
They've been married for like 10 years, though.
I could see that, but they're trying to build careers.
I don't think my mom would get like that, though. My mom would. Hi, Mom.
Your sister has three kids. That's why. So she, you know.
I don't think that my parents would be ready.
Yeah, they
if
have.
I was like, hey, Mom, I'm having a kid. They'd be like, holy shit, how many kids do we have to babysit?
Yeah, exactly. Your sister took that bullet for you three times.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe you should buy her a present.
Anyway, yeah, I will. So we find out that the real reason why Hilary Swank is mad is because Gerard Butler and his friend took out a business loan without asking Swank, which I'm going to agree with Swank on this one. A business
loan. If they're married, you have to.
Yeah, you need to discuss those financial questions.
Major financial commitment should always be, I think, discussed and agreed to by both parties there.
Yeah. So what we're kind of gleaning is that this is a classic argument. You know, the woman is arguing semantics and being super confrontational and mad about stuff. And the guy is telling her that she's crazy and just make up her mind about something because he's like, do you want to have a baby or not? And she's like, well, yeah, but we have a plan, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying this is a classic argument.
Oh, it is.
Portrayed.
It's classic. Yeah, well, it's logic versus fucking flight of fancy. Yeah, it's the classic confrontation between men and women in a relationship.
I'm going to fight you in a dark alley.
What do you want? Tell me and I'll deliver it to you. I don't know and that's your fault. That's the response. I don't know what I want and somehow that's
your
fault.
It's not that it's your fault.
It's somebody's fault.
It's just I don't know and you're badgering me about it and that's not
because you're upset because you don't know.
Yeah, because sometimes you can be upset because you don't know something.
How is that our fault, though? That's the point.
You're taking it personally.
But you're taking it out on us. That's why. She's taking that out on him. That is personal. That there's no, she's just having a moment and he needs to leave her alone. It's not a part of that.
Well, the baby thing, I think, is her having a moment and whatever, that she thought that they were on the same page about it. But the business loan thing, I'm on her side too for that.
Definitely.
So she ends up explaining herself. He explains himself. Yada, yada, yada.
I meant the logic was for the baby conversation. Him going, do you want a baby or not?
Yeah, well,
whatever.
Yeah.
That was for that. The loan conversation completely. That's
nice backpedaling.
No, I'm clarifying. The other one is backpedal shit. You know me. I don't give a fuck.
You don't like it, ladies?
Tough shit.
I understand.
There you go. I'm not pandering to anybody.
I know. Anyway, so Gerard Butler and Hilary Swank make up and... Now, you know, he's doing like a weird strip tease in his boxers and a leather jacket and suspenders.
Yeah. Another scene I hate.
I hated it.
Horseshit couples routines that they have where like she finds that amusing that he's doing that. And every one of these movies has that. Look how playful they are together.
Well, what I don't understand is like, I don't understand the need for that, because it's not like she was saying, yeah, let's, you know, try to have a baby, and then he's like, okay, cool, I'm going to do this really cool strip tease to get us, like, you know,
yeah,
to kind of break the tension about that, and like, you know, we should try tonight. It was like, hey, you still, I'm still mad at you about the business loan. A little bit. So the striptease thing is not wanted right now.
Well, yeah, that's his way of being charming and Irish, apparently.
Yeah, and she makes a lot of comments about him being Irish.
This movie, is the word Ireland and Irish is said at least 300 times over the course of this film.
Yeah,
it's
but like,
just
she's making fun of him, and she's like, how did I get to be married to a leprechaun? Or how did I know I was going to be in love with a leprechaun? And it's like, okay, gay lady, we get it.
Yeah.
He's a fucking Irishman. Like, we fucking get it.
She
Don't
says,
be
kiss
rude.
My ass in English because
yeah,
he said,
yeah, because he says, kiss me arse, and he says, bollocks, and, you know, whatever. But anyway, we are now 13 minutes into the movie, ugh, and we've got 113 minutes to go. And this was so punishing.
This was a painful one, man, because this was the type of movie they kept wanting to do. They kept wanting to roller coaster you.
Yeah.
They kept wanting to take you. They'd have a funny scene that wasn't funny. I like how the entire humor of this whole movie consists of Lisa Kudrow's a sexual predator. That's the only humor in the movie. By the way, put that behavior on Gerard Butler and... this movie is about a guy who should belong in prison.
Yeah,
so, I'm
I agree with you.
But that's the only humor in the movie. And then they go to horribly sad things in the very next breath where it's just punishing.
I told James that we were going to do this movie and he goes, is that a comedy?
It's not.
And I was like, I think it wants to be.
Lisa Kudrow wanting cock is not make a does not a comedy make. I'm sorry.
I agree with you.
Just
there.
That and that alone.
So anyway.
Man cannot live on Kudrow's need for cock alone. I'm sorry. We can't.
Speaking of Lisa Kudrow, we are now in a bar. We meet the crew. We got Kathy Bates, Harry Connick Jr., Lisa Kudrow, Gina Gershon, and Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Lisa Kudrow says to Gina Gershon, am I late? And Gina Gershon says, wait till you see Jerry. You're going to die. Jerry is Gerard Butler.
Yes.
All right. Then we find out, like, half a second later that we are at Jerry's fucking funeral.
Yes.
So was that line really necessary? Wait till you see Jerry. You're going to die. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's super
that is
weird.
So grim.
They just go from like normal shit and then they're at a funeral. There's no like, there's no nothing. They fill in the blanks later.
So it's
so stupid.
Gerard Butler is in this like weird studded box. I think because he got cremated.
It's pretty fancy.
It's fancy, the pastor said that it's designed by Jerry's late wife, the amazing Holly Kennedy, and it's like, okay, so that was weird.
If
but
I
like,
die, don't feel required to make a fancy box for me. You can throw me in like one of those gallon Ziploc bags for a while, I'm fine, till you decide what you want to do.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Fine. I don't care.
By the way, I was so weepy this whole movie because I did not want James to die.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I was like, no, I don't want James to die.
Why, thank you. By the way, we didn't fill anybody in on our hiatus we forgot to tell you this. On our hiatus from P.S. I Hate This Movie, between episodes 24 and 25, we got married.
Yay!
So we are married.
And we did exactly as we've been advising all of you weirdos out there.
Yes.
We didn't make it anybody else's problem.
Yes.
We tricked everyone
That's
into
right.
staying for our wedding.
Sarah has told all you ladies out there with all these wedding movies, and she's like, don't do this. Stop doing this to people. Stop making it everybody's problem.
I was not a hypocrite. We went down to the old county clerk's office after work one day. We busted ass to get down there to get our marriage license. We were already having a dinner party with our friends, and one of our friends could officiate weddings.
Yeah.
So we all ate dinner, and then
Our friends Jimmy Wisman and his wife were there from Small Town Murder and Crime and Sports.
And then Jill Kimmel.
And then Jill Kimmel.
And her boyfriend Jason were there.
Yes, awesome people.
Jill is the one that officiated the wedding.
Yes, indeed.
So it was really funny because it was like, I invited my parents, I invited his parents, and like, you know, whatever. And after dinner, James was like, oh, hey, Jill, can you do us a favor? She's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And he's like, we got our marriage license today. Will you marry us? And so it was kind of cool.
Everyone wanna slap some matrimony on us real fast?
Yeah, you want to throw one at us real quick?
What do you think?
I made my dad walk me across the backyard patio to Jason played Here Comes the Bride on YouTube.
On YouTube. Jimmy hung out next to me as my best man. It was very very cool.
Yeah, so that was really fun. So yeah, don't make it everybody else's problem because you know what? That was the most fun wedding and I would do that again the same way 10 times over.
Shit, yeah. Definitely.
Fuck, yeah. Plus our food, it cost us like $200 like total.
Yeah, total. Total. Out the door.
To feed everybody and to get the marriage license. Anyway, actually, we should just talk about that. Our romantic comedy life is much better than this fucking movie.
Yeah, it doesn't suck, which means that was that would ruin the show.
Exactly. So he's got this fancy box, and then he also has a bunch of shot glasses in front of it, just because, you know, he's an Irish guy who likes to drink.
Yeah, yeah, they line him up with the shot glasses. Yeah.
And the pastor even says, as Jerry would say, let's get this party started.
Yeah.
And I immediately was like, we fucking get it.
We understand.
The dude likes to drink. I fucking get it. We don't need to talk about it this much.
Gerard Butler was a drunk. Did he happen to die from cirrhosis or did he drive his car off a bridge? I know we find out later.
Which
neither
of the
of
above.
Those things. Yeah.
So they're playing some, the pastor starts playing Jerry's favorite song and he's like singing along with it and he's, you know, it's supposed to be funny because he's saying like, oh, you crusty maggots or whatever. But then we see Hilary Swank's sister show up. Now,
yeah,
I think that there is something very strange about the sister.
Yes.
There is some type of, there is something not right with that woman.
Wait, which one's her sister?
The blonde one who was just like,
oh, that one,
very
yeah.
theatrical.
She came
and
in
like
with like a brightly colored jacket on to a funeral and her suitcase or some shit behind her. Okay, that's
and
the one, yeah.
And she's very like disconnected.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nothing really like seems to match. Like her enthusiasm for things doesn't match what she's talking about. Like she's like,
yeah.
"Hiya, sis." It's like that's not a proper way to
weird.
Greet me at my husband's funeral.
That's the thing. She busted in. She busted in like it was a high school reunion. She busted in, took her jacket off, and like went ooh, and like danced over to him and said, "Hi, sis." And everyone was like, "We're mourning here. This man
and
is
then
dead."
And she like goes up to the box and she's like, hi, Jerry. And then, like, takes a shot. And I'm like, is this, like, a weird soap opera off-Broadway play? Like, what is happening?
That's what it feels like.
She was so over-theatrical about it. But, like, when she walked in, she's like, hiya, sis. I was
some
like, that's
fucking,
not an appropriate greeting right now.
Some real weird meta shit just
if,
all...
Yeah, yeah, if my sister came up to me and said that to me at my husband's funeral, I would slap the shit out of her. I'm sorry, Megan, I love you, but
man,
I'd be like,
Megan
that
is getting dragged through the mud today.
I
sorry,
know, I
Megan.
Love my sister. I really do. I'm sorry, Megan,
that's
I love
true.
You.
Good Lord.
But don't greet me like that.
I guess not. Jesus.
Anyway, so James is totally right. Lisa Kudrow is only in this movie to prey on dudes at this
That's
funeral.
It. She has no other purpose except to walk up to guys and say,
Are you single?
Are you straight? And then
do you have a job?
And then she literally sexually assaults them. And
yeah,
then
she'll kiss them, and if they're a bad kisser, she's like, never
away.
Mind, she'll walk away, yeah.
Watch if I tried that. Prison. 2 days it would take for me to end up in prison, and rightfully fucking so.
Yeah, no kidding.
Tell you
kidding.
What, so Lisa Kudrow, you goddamn predatory asshole.
Yeah, I didn't understand why that was okay, but anyway,
that's
fine.
Funny to ladies. Ladies are allowed to be extra sexually aggressive, and men enjoy it. That's the way it
well,
works. It's true. We like
that's
it. That's why. That's the problem. You
Harry
guys don't want to be groped. We do.
Harry Connick Jr. is in this movie, and his character is so hilarious, and I don't think that it's hilarious in a good way. He's very dark and very weird, and I think somehow on the spectrum, which is fine, but I wish that they didn't say that he had to take, like, his rude pills.
Yeah, and I thought women found Harry Connick Jr. handsome. Do they find him handsome?
I actually don't know, because I find him to be very goofy looking.
He's a goofy look. That's what I was going to say. Like, I've always, I thought that women found him handsome, and then this, I'm like, what a goofy looking son of a bitch. I asked you who it was, and you're like, that's Harry Connick. I'm like, oh, yeah, it is.
I remember,
it looks goofy.
When I was a kid, I used to have one of his cassette tapes.
Oh, I'm thinking of Chris Isaac. Never mind.
Yeah.
Fuck
no.
That.
Well, they kind of look similar, different. But I had one of Harry Connick Jr.'s cassette tapes, and I used to really love it. And then I forgot
really?
That he existed. And then I saw that he has his own talk show, and it's just called Harry.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my God. So it's basically like Ellen, but it's Harry Connick Jr.
Jesus.
And I'm like, I'm really not sure that
That's
this translates.
Okay.
And I don't think that, but Harry Connick Jr.'s demographic is people who watch those talk shows, so that's fine. Good for you, Harry Connick Jr.
I was thinking of Chris Isaac with that video in black and white where he's making out with the model.
Wicked game to play.
I was like, I thought women found him handsome. What happened to that guy? He looks like a fish in this. He's he does. He looks like a fish in this movie. Like he's got this fish face on him.
Well,
it's terrible.
He is unintentionally hilarious. So he says to Hilary Swank, "How did he die?" And she says, "Brain tumor." And he goes, "Nice."
Yeah, nice. He says, which is like
never like. says like why he said nice. Like he just kind of just brushes past it and then just kind of tells her that he just has no filter and doesn't associate words with feelings. And I was like, and he goes, I have to take medication for being rude. And I'm like, why don't you just say that you're autistic? It's okay.
I was
going to
say, it feels like he's autistic, and I don't think there's medication. There's no autism medication that makes you understand social cues. Trust me, because I would have got it for my son immediately.
Yeah.
So trust me. It doesn't exist. So I don't know what kind of medication he's got, but I'd like to team up with old Harry Connick and find the fuck out.
To know what medication that is.
Although it doesn't work through the whole movie, so never mind.
Yeah, no, it definitely does not. But Swank goes home after the funeral, and she keeps calling Gerard Butler's voicemail to hear his voice, which I found to be very sad.
That was super sad. And you know what I honestly thought about this? I thought the funny thing was I go, well, at least if I die, Sarah won't have to do that.
I would have to just listen to all of your podcasts. Say,
I have, there's 300 hours of podcasts you could listen to. You'd get sick of me.
I also have a bunch of voicemails that you've given me that are very funny, and I listen to those.
But you'd get tired of me. There's so much audio for me out there. We'd be like, all right, enough with this dickhead.
Yeah, I would never feel like he was gone.
No.
So now Swank is wearing all of Gerard Butler's clothes, and now this bitch starts tripping, which I understand.
You better lose it like this if I die.
Oh, yeah, I will totally go into a crazy recluse because she sees like Gerard Butler playing guitar on the couch, and then she starts having like a weird Judy Garland meltdown where she's, you know, singing these songs all dramatically.
And watching black and white movies and singing the songs into a hairbrush.
Better believe that I would have this much, probably a greater meltdown.
Oh, wow.
This.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's very sweet.
I know.
I appreciate that.
Isn't that very adorable of me?
Yeah, it is.
But I have a question for you. What is Swank's candle budget? Because she always has candles lit at every moment of every day, and she has so many candles.
Well, she's worried about, I saw when she makes a list of shit she wants to accomplish, and she's going to make $100,000 a year. That's because she needs 30 grand just for candles.
She has so many candles.
Many fucking candles that she needs that kind of
money. She had like 8 of them just on the dresser alone for mourning Gerard Butler. And those were like lit at all times.
These are my morning candles. These are my festive candles.
These are just for the overall
everyday
aesthetic
candles.
Of the room. Yeah. But then here's what I thought was funny, too, is that she has this whole, like, you know, memorial thing on one of the dressers to Gerard Butler. And then there's just a picture of just solo Swank.
Yeah, just
and
her.
I was like,
who has a picture of themselves?
Yeah, I'm like,
nobody else in the
shot.
I'm
going to remember my husband. But then also, I mean, check out these shots here.
Look at me. Hey.
I'm looking pretty good in that photo.
No, she's not.
No. Anyway, Kathy Bates, who is Hillary Swank's mom,
yes,
and company, come over to surprise the Swankster for her 30th birthday. And they interrupt her in the middle of a
full-on meltdown.
Full-on meltdown where she is singing. Is she singing the Judy Garland one or is she singing something else?
I don't remember which one it is.
Belting it out.
Sad old show tune.
There's like pizza everywhere and like, you know, all this garbage and whatever. So she's...
It looked like teenage boys have been living there for 3 weeks unsupervised.
Yeah, she is pretty far gone.
Things had poop on it, I swear.
Yeah.
I swear it did. I know it.
But the mom and the friends all come over and they're cleaning the apartment and they're helping her like get herself clean and whatever because she obviously hasn't showered in a few weeks. But what's really funny is that would take way longer than just 2 hours
to
clean that apartment.
Well, maybe if you had 5 people working on it.
But they lived in like an apartment in New York City, so it's not like they could just like take it out to the like outside garbage can. That would take quite a lot.
It was like a 700-square-foot apartment.
That would be so many trips.
Well, then she has to get ready, too, because at one point they say, what's that smell? And she says, me. So she needs a shower, and she is just a disaster in there.
But you know what?
I get it.
Yeah.
I understand
She's mourning the loss of her husband. But anyway, so Gina Gershon tells her, I love this. She says, you got to be rich to be insane. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That really isn't fair because, you know, Hillary Swank doesn't want to fucking, you know, go to work. She doesn't want to do anything. She just wants to sit at home and just kind of, you know...
That's one of the very few practical things they've ever said in a romantic comedy.
Yeah,
normally,
you got to be rich to be insane.
They
and
would
I was
just
like, that is very, very poignant.
Well, normally these people have unlimited funds.
Yeah.
So it's like they can stay off of work for 3 months. They have plenty of money, apparently. It doesn't matter because it's never money's never an object. They try to bring in practicality of it a little more.
Yeah, they really do.
Like this movie, I feel like, was written by smarter people. And I take that also as an insult because they know what they're doing and manipulating what they're doing, which makes it even more annoying and worse to me. So fuck you, you smart assholes. And you're not idiots, but I would rather you be... I'd rather you be stupid and just that's the best you have than to specifically try to manipulate people's emotions over and over and over and over again in this fucking movie.
No,
47 times.
I totally agree with you on that one, because now this is where we get into the insulting part. Swank gets a delivery, okay?
Yeah.
To come to the apartment, and it's from Gerard Butler from the beyond.
From the beyond.
And this to me was kind of upsetting, just because she had just started to kind of feel better. You know, she was cleaning out the apartment. She was getting herself all
showered
up. And,
yeah. She took a shower.
And then all of a sudden, so she's like, you know, talking to her friends, and her friends and her mom are making her feel better about, you know, grieving and whatever. And then all of a sudden she just gets this reminder like, oh yeah, by the way.
Husband's dead.
Yeah, your husband's dead.
Knock, knock, dead husband.
Knock, knock. Here, this is grief.
Husband died.
Yeah, this is grief calling
like
for
a
you.
Barker. Yeah.
So he sent her a gift on her birthday, and I love that he says that he thought that he would wait for her birthday, just so that, you know, he knows that she'll be done with her little mourning weird thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, thanks, honey, for helping me rehash all my feelings and depression. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't know that what he does here is actually a kind thing to do.
No,
I don't
it's
feel
fucked
like,
up.
Well, I feel like, okay, she,
well,
we're
explain,
gonna talk about,
explain what
okay.
he's doing.
He's sending her these letters and telling her to, like, do things. It's almost like an emotional treasure hunt, basically. An emotional, what would you call, scavenger hunt, where there's these note from note to note to note type of things. And what he's doing is, in the end, he's trying to help her get past it and move on. So it's supposed to be a sweet thing to help her move past it and move on.
But it's fucking sick.
But it's some sick manipulative shit, because that is a woman's emotional, not even a woman, that's just a person's emotional journey to go on their own, that you can't force them through or manipulate them through with cheap, beyond the grave fucking horse shit tactics.
And the things that he tells her to do, it's like, no, fuck you, I don't want to do that.
Stupid,
but then you
parlor
can't.
Tricks.
I understand. I don't want to. It's bad juju not to do something that, you know, that some. It's bad juju to not respect a dead person's wishes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he tells her to go do stuff that she obviously doesn't fucking like doing.
I get one letter. One letter.
Yeah, the birthday present. If you know you're going to die, send her a birthday
That's
present.
That's great.
Fuck off.
That's fine. But not the rest of it is just manipulative. And it's like I said, he sends her on this
but the first,
wild goose chase of
the first one
emotional.
Isn't even a letter. The first one is a fucking recorded
That's right.
tape on
yes.
a fucking recorder. And I was so mad at Gerard Butler. I was like, you know what? I wanted to like you in this movie, Gerard Buttface. And instead you decided to be a creep and try to force my girl Swankster to do some shit that she don't want to do.
I never liked Gerard Butler. Jesus. This is, what, the second time we've seen him?
Yeah.
Fucking awful. Was The Ugly Truth was the first one?
Yes.
Jesus, that was a pile of shit.
It was. So like what James said is that he is sending her letters. She doesn't know where they're going to be from. That's another thing. He's even controlling, putting her on edge, because he's like, you're never going to know where they come
from. Dude, it's ridiculous. It's such
and
a
so,
fucked up thing to do.
Yeah, it's so fucked up, because all it does is it keeps dragging her on and leads her on, and so that she'll never confront that real issue.
You can get one letter and it's closure.
Yeah.
Okay, but when you have multiple letters and the fact that you know more are coming from other angles, then it's like he's not even dead at that point.
No.
You can't move on because he's not dead. And it's like, I get that she wants him to not be dead, but he is fucking dead, and she needs to let him... Let her move on and fucking realize he's dead.
No, I agree.
I'm so annoyed with this asshole.
So he tells them...
This dead asshole.
Gerard Buttface tells the Swankster to go out with her girlies, which I hate that. I hate the girlies. It's the worst fucking thing in the world.
Jesus.
If anybody ever says, like, thanks, girlie, to me, I'm like, ugh. I cringe.
Yeah.
So
unless it's a gay guy.
The girlies all go out to a gay bar, and the sister... The weird sister gets them in because she says she can't even she's not even a good actress, because she's like, oh, because the people at the gay bar won't let them in. And she's like, she's the princess of Finland, and she's come to extend and repair and, you know, what was it? Manage
Jesus
the relationship
Christ.
Between Finland and the homosexual community. And it's like, number one, that's not even a good
This is excuse, a terrible lie.
But then number two, like, why are you throwing Finland under the bus like that? Like, they don't accept gay people.
How
like,
about, hey, her husband just fucking died.
Yeah,
can we be cool
with that?
I'm like,
really
oh my God,
great,
sweetheart. Oh my God, come on in
a,
here. Oh my
have,
God, let's make her feel better. Let's
you
get
have
her some
a
drinks.
Gem. Yeah, you have a gem of a reason. Her husband just died.
Yeah.
It's her fucking 30th birthday. Can you please let
the
her in?
The gays will take you in like a womb and
well,
hold you
tight. Well, they
did
anyway
yes.
because they she was talking to them and they were like, oh, honey, like my husband died 12 years ago and blah, blah, blah. She was like, oh my God, and you survived? Like, that was what she needed. She
yes.
needed to talk to them and have a shoulder to cry on
exactly.
and like whatever. So, I mean, I just couldn't believe that she's like, she's the princess of Finland.
Such horse shit. Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, ugh,
like the
embarrassing.
Princess of Finland would, thanks for throwing Finland under the bus.
That's
I'm sure Finland's
thing.
Real
yeah.
supportive.
Finland, very anti-gay, fuck. Apparently.
Yeah, that's a, whatever. Then they go to the bar that that Kathy Bates works at.
Yeah.
Because that's, Kathy Bates lives above the bar that she works at.
She owns
afterwards.
It, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she owns it. Sorry, not, she works at it and owns it.
It's like
it.
The family business yeah. kind of, yeah.
And Harry Connick Jr. is now being super weird and doing this really weird word vomit about his life because
yeah,
she
the
was
hell,
talking
man.
About like how that she lost her husband and why did God take away her husband? He's like, well, my fiance left me for my best friend who was a woman. And like, it's like, okay.
He, this
I
character.
I think mine's a little bit different.
Yeah, this is much, much, much worse and less sexy. This is terrible. Exactly.
And but he's very angry about it. And but anyway, so what we find out from that weird closet conversation is that he digs Swank a lot, and
yes.
she throws up all over him.
That's a perfect
because she's super drunk. Yeah, because he's like, I find that a lot of people are repelled by me, and she just goes blah, and he was like, yeah. You
that's
know.
The kind of comedy you're dealing with in this movie,
this is,
folks.
This is some highbrow fucking comedy here.
Either,
and if you weren't ready for it,
ugh,
maybe you should go back.
It's either trying
rethink
to
rethink your life.
Ugh, it's either trying to extract tears from you or trying to make you laugh at the dumbest shit ever.
And there
the
was
two.
No in between.
No, that's
because
it.
Because it was a roller coaster because
yeah.
there was either...
It was Kudrow grabbing dicks or
yeah.
them trying to make you cry. That's
yeah.
it. That was
it was
the
either
only
some
two
weird physical comedy where they really were trying, or it was Hillary Swank
yeah.
getting all fucking depressed, and then you were
and
like,
seeing
no.
a dead guy and thinking and dreaming and mm-hmm. fucking crying and running away. I'm like, oh my God, if she cries and runs away one more fucking time, I'm
yeah.
gonna kill myself, and you're gonna be sad.
I would. Yeah, I would.
See, that's what's
and
gonna
then,
happen. You can blame Swank for it.
By the way, you can also blame Swank. Ugh. P.S. I love you is the reason why I came up with P.S. I hate this movie.
Yes, exactly. So thank you, Swank.
Thank you, Swankster.
Thank the Swank.
Thank the Swank. Swank the Tank is back at work, and she is now, she's a real estate agent or whatever. I think she's
yeah.
just part of like a real estate team, but whatever.
She seems like the real estate assistant to
Gershon.
To Gershon.
So now she's yelling at some lady because the lady isn't listening to her husband about the apartment. He's like, well, I don't really know. And she's like, why aren't you listening to him? And just yelling at him. Which,
yeah.
Because she is taking out her
he
frustrations because she
yeah, he
used
says,
to,
well, it's more than we wanted to spend and I'm not sure. And she's like, we're getting it. What are you talking about? Like this wife
yeah,
that they put is
like
the worst person ever. What do you mean? Shut up.
Yeah, we're
like
getting this apartment. And she's like, why aren't you listening to him? You're, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because she's
Swank
regretting.
Is.
Yeah, Swank. Swank is regretting the fact that she never let Gerard Butler off the hook for anything. She always gave him grief about, you know, like the whole baby thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that stuff. She always gave him grief. And it made me feel a little bit bad for not letting you off the hook for a lot of things, but not enough that I'm going to change my personality.
I was gonna say, yeah.
It just made me a little bit more self-aware, which I think that's the whole, you know, meat and cheese of it is that.
For who?
For couples.
For you, not for
no,
me.
No, no,
I'm still getting yelled at. I don't give a shit about your meat and cheese.
I know,
stop
but
yelling
you
at
shouldn't
me.
Want me to change my personality because you should love me for how I am.
An
and
asshole?
Then I
sure.
Be-
why not? No, you're not an asshole, but if you're being an asshole, I
should
love you for that.
I should be self-aware and at least have the fucking wherewithal to say, hey, I know that I'm being an asshole right now
fair
and I'm
enough.
Apologizing, but I'm also...
But
gonna try
you,
to be better, but please give me credit if I'm not better right
that's
away.
That's fair.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The meat and cheese of it is that you can be an asshole just as long as you are a self-aware asshole.
I suppose. That lasts a little while, and then you actually have to change your behavior for after. Not you, but anybody in that
okay.
situation.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so the Swankster got fired. And Gerard Butler's note has been like, oh, I know you hate every job that you've been at, so you'll find something that you like. Just look for the signs. And he also wants Swank the Tank to do karaoke, which she doesn't appear to be excited about.
Not at all.
But
he's a singer. He like does.
Yes,
he's like an acoustic Irish.
He's a musician.
Whatever the fuck.
Whatever. He's in a band. He sings a lot. He does karaoke. So now this is where we go into a flashback of a successful karaoke outing between the Swankster and Gerard Butler and Gina Gershon and Lisa Kudrow and whatever. Yeah. And she, Gerard Butler challenges her to like do karaoke, and she's all pissed off at him because she didn't want to go out that night and he made her, and now he's calling her on the carpet and he knows how to push her buttons, so he knows that she's going to get up and do karaoke, and she does, and she falls flat on her face and breaks her nose, and then she's really upset because he made her go out that night and she didn't want to.
Yeah, of course, his fault.
So they go to the karaoke bar and Lisa Kudrow objectifies Dennis Duffy because Dennis Duffy is in this movie.
Yeah, he is. He doesn't call anyone dummy, which is very disappointing.
That's very disappointing. And I'll tell you what else I'm disappointed about Dennis Duffy's character in just a second. So Lisa Kudrow is objectifying Dennis Duffy, and Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer gets kind of mad at her about that. And so she kind of, you know, puts the slam-a-jama smack down on him and tells him that, like, I'm pretty sure that a bunch of guys always look at my tits all the time and grab my ass instead of shake my hand, so I think that I can look at somebody with cheap objectification if I want to.
That's mature. That'll help society.
Yeah, that'll help society. Yeah.
People are shitty. You want to match that behavior and then take it up a notch.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Smart.
So Swank sings the most depressing song in the whole world for karaoke.
Yeah.
She sings this song called I Love You Till the End, which is kind of a weird common theme. I think it must have been like their song. She sings I Love You Till the End. And she's grieving. So, I mean, that makes sense that she's doing kind of a...
It's weird,
a
man.
...sadder song.
Yeah, it's super creepy, though, the whole thing. You're like, Jesus, this poor... people would be like, can we leave now? Let's go. The bar would be empty when she was done. Yeah, this is sad, man. Not even because she's bad, just because it's depressing what she's doing.
You can hear a pin drop. It's kind of like... In Baby Mama, when Tina Fey, because Tina Fey is going out and she starts playing Lady in Red. She's drunk and she plays Lady in Red. And she's like, this one's for all the ladies. And everybody gets mad at her. Anyway, we have to watch that movie and it's going to be funny. So Lisa Kudrow throws her predatory thing on Dennis Duffy. She asks him if he has a job and he runs the place. And then she's, you know, whatever. So. Now she's all in love with him. She kisses him. She thinks this is the greatest thing in the whole world. He's wonderful. And all I could think of was that this is a long way from being the Beeper King.
Yeah,
for Dennis
no
Duffy.
Shit. But he's like the same character. He's like a successful Dennis Duffy.
Yeah, that's where. Yeah.
That's what it is. He's like karaoke. You do karaoke bars. Everyone comes and sings. Everyone wants to sing. Everyone wants to be a star.
Like everybody wants it.
Yeah.
Where do you get it?
But this was one of his ideas on 30 Rock that worked, actually.
Yeah, this was the one that actually worked. And they live in New York, too, which... but anyway, Tina Fey, or Liz Lemon, is a fucking catch in comparison to the Coods.
Oh, yeah, I would say so.
Harry Connick Jr. is just so weird, and he's asking Hillary Swank, like, what ladies want. He's like, what do women want? Which I think we found out from the last movie, but...
They promised us, but we never found out.
But we found out in this movie.
Yes.
Because he's asking the Swankster about it, and Swank says... That what women want is we actually have absolutely no idea, which is true.
Yes. And you're mad at us for not delivering that.
Not all the time. Not all the time. So one of the letters that Swank gets is that she has to go to this travel agency, like to whatever. And the travel agent lady was like, you're his wife.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're his wife. And they're all emotional.
Oh, God. Yeah. Apparently, he booked this whole trip to Ireland. Kathy Bates, Swank's mom, thinks that this is a really bad idea. She thinks that she sees that this is morbid and it's only hurting her.
And it really is.
It really is. And I struggled the whole time that I was watching this movie, much like what you said earlier, is this the best way for Hillary Swank to grieve? Because it felt like a sick game. She's like all impatient with the mailman to where he's like putting all the stuff in there and she's just standing there staring at him.
Yeah, it's gotten creepy.
And it was weird. It was just weird.
Well, she can't move on with her life. Her whole life is wrapped up in this fucking game he set up for her.
She doesn't know when the letters are coming.
No, when it's going to end, when it's going to start. Like I said, it's like he's still alive. Like, yeah. Jesus Christ, you rude asshole. Move on. Let her move on.
So Swankster gets mad and they have this fight because she's like, well, my husband died. I get it that your husband left you. And, you know, Kathy Bates says, well, you know, leaving me by choice that of not of mine is not any better than, you know, because she's like, well, he didn't want to leave. He didn't want to be taken and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, your husband did. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, it still doesn't.
It is different, by the way. Much, much different.
I know, but Kathy Bates still felt lonely and like she didn't have somebody. So that's still a loss.
Yes. Not the same, though, as dead. Definitely not the same.
No, not the same as dead.
Close.
And Kathy Bates didn't say it was the same. She just said, I have something similar. I'm trying to relate to you. And Swank was just not having it.
She's barking up the wrong tree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to.
And when Swank and Gershon, so this whole Ireland trip is for Swank, Gershon, and Kudrow. So that's for all of them. And Gershon and Kudrow both got letters from Gerard Butler.
Yes, he sends them letters too.
He sends them letters to tell her, like, you know, take her out fishing, make sure that she's okay. Thank you so much for being her friend and taking her to this and blah, blah, blah. Which I saw as creepy and manipulative and weird because,
controlling her trip
because that's what I was thinking is that, like, they seem to have fun with everything that they did in Ireland. And she's like, you know, he's been dying to get me to go fishing for so long. And they're like having fun out fishing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. What if that wasn't fun? Like, why?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Why did she have to have fun? Like, why did she have to go fishing?
No, I don't understand that whole thing. I don't know why. I don't know why. I guess I get why she's going along with it. She has to go along with it. Do you get the idea that this movie was written in like 1988? I feel like this movie was written in like 1988. And then they just finally made it where they're like, yeah, letters and it's beautiful and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what I feel like. I really do. Like, it's just.
Yeah,
this movie
because was... he sends like his parents letters and it's like his parents in Ireland. And it was 2007. We had phones that could call.
Yeah,
you could have a phone plan that called
that
over
sort of
to
thing.
Ireland. And there was email.
Yeah, it's just, it feels to me like the way it's
Gmail
written.
I had a Gmail account in 2007. Yeah, you could do Google Hangouts. There was Skype. You could have called your parents. Like, you didn't have to send them
a
fucking letter.
No, it's just strange. I keep thinking of that. Like, it just feels like it's from another time. Like, it just feels like it's not from 2007.
Yeah.
Which is, it just feels like it's a leftover script that they had up on the shelf that somebody finally talked them into making.
It's very strange. And I'd like to know a little bit more about that. But it just felt very weird that he was, like, on purpose not sending Swank another letter for that. Like, he didn't send her another letter. He sent it to Gina Gershon and Kudrow and was like, yeah, make sure you take her to do this and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's
told
like
her what pub to take her to.
Yeah.
Like,
and
Jesus.
I get it. Like, thanks for the suggestion, but you already sent us to fucking Ireland. Like, at least let us plan our own trip after that.
Nope. He had a whole thing planned out and he knew what he was. Oh, God.
So they go to this pub and they see Jeffrey Dean Morgan playing the guitar and they're all, you know, homina, 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 homina about him. And
that guy, for some reason, I don't understand.
I don't know. But
hey,
also,
look, a failed musician, a guy in his 40s who's working at a fucking bar. That's great. Wow.
And that has a bar tab.
Sexy.
But, yeah, super sexy. And so they tell her that she should go out and flirt with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, which I'm really not sure how she had the confidence to do that. Because she was just talking about, oh yeah, I guess.
They gave her a few drinks and then pushed her out.
Yeah, she goes up and tries to flirt with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And I did love because they said, like, you're American, you're exotic. She's like, there is nothing exotic about being American. And I was like, so true.
Yeah,
because
sure.
When I went to New Zealand when I was 17, they could pick Americans out of anything. And that's just because, like, we all have makeup. We're all so vain. And they're like, ooh, those people have a bunch of makeup on and like they have their hair dyed and like blah, blah, blah. And I remember they were singing, we were on this weird gondola to go up to do Lujing. And these guys were singing, I'm in love with a stripper to us. And it starts out with, got the body of a goddess. And I turned around and I was like, is your idea of hitting on us singing, I'm in love with a stripper? And they were like, oh, my bad. I'm like, fuck you. I was so mad. But anyway.
That's probably what they thought. They thought you'd be proud of that.
Well, they asked if because sidebar, they asked us where we lived, and we said Arizona, and they're like, "Oh, do you guys walk around naked?" And I was like, "Nope, we still have clothes. there okay. are clothes in America."
Jesus.
Also, we're underage.
What are they teaching these children in school?
I don't know.
The hell is wrong with them? The New Zealand school system is just teaching some weird shit.
It was so weird. They asked if we walked around naked, and I was like, "No, we sure don't. We had, yes. There are things called shorts."
Yeah.
Just because it's warm out doesn't mean we don't have shorts, but. So she's trying to flirt with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Hillary Swank is, and he immediately dedicates a song to her, which that would be, I would be running the other direction immediately.
Yeah,
he's
well,
the song's for Holly. I'd be like, motherfucker, I just met you.
He's like, oh, I'm going to play one more.
He's like, you're going to stick around, I'm going to play one more. And then she's like, yeah, cool, I'll hang out. And then he's like, this one's dedicated to Holly. It's like, no, dedicated to the whole group. Don't be fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the whole group of Americans, because you know that we're all here. But, you know, I was just like, pump the brakes there, JDM. You know what I mean? Like, just pump it a little.
He does not get an initial nickname. I'm sorry.
No.
We can't give him one of those. You just called him JDM.
Well, because I was too tired to say Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
That's
so
true.
Fine. Just Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you don't.
Irish Tool. That's good enough.
So he ends up playing the song for Hillary Swank that, and we get like a weird flashback with it, that Gerard Butler played for her when, you know, many moons ago when she was young and first met him, and she gets upset and runs away, which whatever. But it's super weird because Jeffrey Dean Morgan is watching her run away.
As he's playing, yeah, he's just watching her like she's the only person in the room.
Yeah. Well, because he just dedicated the song to her, so how dare she run away?
She takes off.
Yeah, but I mean, she didn't know that was going to happen, but I don't think she ever has an opportunity to tell him like why she ran away, so that's just super weird. But now she and Gina Gershon and Lisa Kudrow are all fishing, and they are fishing in the middle of wherever, and they thought that they were catching a fish and they lost their oars because they don't know how to reel in.
God, I was hoping everyone would drown and this movie would be over. I was praying for it. Like, maybe it's been 2 hours and
they
everyone
don't
drowned.
Know how to reel the fish in, so they use the oars, and I'm not really sure how or why.
Maybe that's the happy ending. The two of them get together in fucking hell because they made me watch this movie.
Yeah.
So they're definitely in hell.
So we find out in the boat that Gina Gershon is having a baby and that the Coods is getting married to Dennis Duffy. And Hillary Swank is a little upset by this because, you know, her friends are having, they're progressing in their life. They're having babies and they're getting married and, you know, she's grieving her dead husband.
She's back to one.
Yeah, she's back to square one and it's not looking great. Swank the Tank is having a lot of feelings right now. And the Irish guy ends up coming to rescue them from the boats. I think because he works on the lake. I think that's what they're talking about at dinner.
Yeah, who the frig knows in
Whatever.
This fucking movie.
They're feeding him now because he saved their lives. And
if I'm being honest with you, I completely fucking zoned out for minutes at a time during this movie.
Yeah, I know.
Minutes at a time where I'm like, I have no idea what just happened.
Yeah.
And I tried. I watched it. I sat there with my fucking eyes open and I watched it and I'm like, I don't know what just happened.
Yeah, because you weren't doing anything else.
No.
I saw you. You were paying attention.
And I wasn't
going to
tell you to rewind it because I don't want to fucking see it again.
No,
I don't
it was 2 hours and
6 minutes. This mess.
That,
so, yeah,
you know,
there's.
We've watched this movie twice and it's
Jesus Christ,
because we found that it's better if we watch them twice or multiple times. I mean, the Grease episode was fucking awesome because I don't know how many times we've seen that movie, and we have theories,
this,
we have whole things developed.
This just made me angry. It did. This numbed me into this just sense of sadness and
But anyway, Hillary Swank, they offer Jeffrey Dean Morgan to stay the night, and he is taking them up on that. And so Hillary Swank ends up seeing Jeffrey Dean Morgan in all of his nudité on accident. So she sees him nude, and then she's all awkward and trying to act like she didn't see him nude.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand because they're just adults, and I get it that that's weird, but she's just acting really weird.
She's not an adult person. It's strange.
She's laughing. Like, she's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to. I was like, what?
There's many times where she acts
like
she's...
I laugh like that when somebody farts.
Yeah, there's many times where she acts like she's 14, and it's like, what is wrong with her?
Brain damage or something? She's like that in the whole movie. Like, she giggles that whole time with
Gerard Butler like that. Brain damage. More brain damage. Again.
Also, way to pigeonhole Hillary Swank for having a type, like, Irish musician dude.
Failed Irish crooner. Yeah, that's a fucking, quite the type you got there.
Alrighty.
Acoustic Irish failures. That's our type.
So Hilary Swank lays a hot smooch on Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and it is implied penetration after that.
Yes,
because they wake up in the same bed together and they are talking.
If they weren't talking, would that mean that maybe it wasn't implied penetration?
I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. It's fine.
I love it.
But it turns out that Jeffrey Dean Morgan knows Gerard Butler, and that...
Not only knows him, they were in the same band.
They were in the same band, and Hilary Swank knows him.
Yes, they know each other.
So she's like, oh my God, you're Billy Gallagher, and, you know, freaks out. But I don't even know if that is an uh-oh.
I don't know.
Because does he have a terrible reputation? Like, why is she so upset about it?
It was dude's friend? Because it was Jerry's friend. Then he does say, it's all right, me and Jerry shared everything. And I was like, okay, well, that
does
creepy.
Not make me feel better,
that
by
didn't
the way,
help any.
Sir.
Yeah. That was a little
by
rough.
The way, you just made that real weird for all of us.
Jesus
like,
Christ.
No, thank you.
This just turned into an abusive situation. I don't like it.
And then it gets weirder because then he starts telling her stories about him and Gerard Butler before she met him.
Yeah. You want to hear, he says,
he's
you want to
hear
stories?
Some stories? And then she's like telling him so that they both fall asleep. And I'm like, this is the weirdest fucking thing that's ever happened.
This is so twisted, and the whole thing is fucking twisted, and the saddest person in this movie is Harry Connick Jr. because he has to go along for this twisted ride hopes that someday she'll turn into a fucking human being.
Yeah.
Super weird.
So while she's in Ireland, the Swankster goes to see Gerard Butler's mom and dad. We find out that the mom and dad, at least the mom, doesn't really particularly care for Hilary Swank because she stole her son away.
Because they met in Ireland.
They
as
met
we
in
find
Ireland,
out.
And
yeah.
then he moved to the States to be with her and whatever. Swank gets back from Ireland, and she's having a meltdown because she wants to find her purpose in life and, you know, figure out her career. She's fucking with one of the picture frames, and the buckle from the suspenders that hit Gerard Butler in the eye fell and landed on top of a shoe.
Yeah.
And she's like, holy shit, that looks great. And so now she's just designing shoes. She can just draw shoes perfectly.
This is another one of these rom-com horseshit fucking devices here.
Which, it's funny because we just found out that she studied art in college during a flashback like 2 seconds ago.
2 seconds ago, and then she conveniently, literally has an idea for a shoe, and then in the next scene, she's a successful shoe fucking manufacturer designer.
No, because,
you're like, what the hell is going on
you
here?
You see her drawing the shoes, and she can draw a perfect shoe.
Great.
First and foremost, she can draw a perfect
shoe.
There's
probably a lot of people who can draw shoes out there.
She's going to... So all the while, she's having this whole montage of her learning how to make shoes. Like, she goes to a class, she goes to, you know, whatever. And then she's drawing all these shoes, and she's watching all these movies and whatever. Kudrow is pissed at her because she's trying to plan her wedding, and she's supposed to be her maid of honor. Gershon is mad at her because she's trying to have a baby, and she needs her friend, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. By the way... In this movie, Gina Gershon is a fucking angel.
She is.
She's a great friend.
She is. I can't deny that. Yeah, her character is like one of the few non-assholes in this whole movie.
Yeah, she's a great character. So in a world full of Swanks, you just get your Gershon.
Exactly.
You be an angel person like Gina Gershon in this movie.
That's perfect.
So Swank takes her new shoes that she just designed from school to Lisa Kudrow. I don't know how the fuck she knew that she was at the wedding dress place trying on a dress, but that's fine. And she says, I would like to make up my not calling you back. I would like to make up for that by designing your wedding shoes.
Gee,
and
thanks.
Lisa Kudrow's like, cool, thanks. I appreciate that.
A weird thing to offer.
I'd
like to design your wedding shoes. What? Are you fucking weird? No.
You've just been drawing this and designing this and you haven't been able to fucking call me back?
How about do what I've been asking you to do for a long time? Did I ask for fucking shoes? I bought shoes. I'm good now.
No.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't have shoes yet.
Doesn't
so
matter. She can buy shoes.
I know.
She
I wanted you to be my maid of honor.
Yeah.
So now she's going to be the maid of honor and she's also going to be the... shoe designer of honor, which that's going to be a new title for all weddings.
Definitely.
And Swank goes to see Harry Connick Jr. and he tells her that he wants to be somebody's, you know, Gerard Butler. And he is so...
Yeah, he's like, obviously I'm not your one. I'd like to be somebody's...
Because he's been telling her that he likes her and, you know, whatever. And every single time that they're together... She always brings up Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah.
She always brings up Gerard Butler.
And she called him Jerry at one point.
Yeah, and he's upset because, and rightfully so, because he's like, hey, you're hanging out with me, and it'd be nice if I've been telling you that I like you and that I'm in love with you and whatever. I understand your husband's dead, but it'd be nice if we could go a couple of times without hearing about him.
That's right.
That's all good.
Yeah, who wouldn't want that? Nobody wants to constantly hear about your fucking dead
yeah.
husband.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. I get that Harry Connick Jr. is upset at her grieving time and process. And I'm not sure that that is correct, that you can be frustrated with that. It's nice to point that out.
But if she knows he likes him and she keeps hanging around...
He likes her, and she keeps
mm-hmm. letting him hang around.
But there is no standard amount of time for grieving, you know? Like, there's no formula. Like,
true.
X amount of years divided by months departed equals grief. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that, but it's been a long time, and she keeps having him hang around despite the fact that she knows he has romantic feelings for her. In that regard, either she's being selfish.
That's super mean,
yes.
because she's like, you've been a great friend to me this whole time, and I get it because she's trying to establish, like, hey, listen, I'm having a real hard time here. You've been a really great friend to me,
yeah.
and I appreciate that. But at some point, you're torturing the poor guy. Like, he's told
exactly.
you he's had romantic feelings
yeah.
for you, and you're torturing
him
now. Yeah,
let him go.
He's obviously a very troubled soul. So she, after this, she finally realizes that Gerard Butler is gone.
Yeah,
like that he's dead, and she like it's weird.
It's finally starting to set in.
Yeah, she runs and tells her mom. She's crying to her mom, and she's just like, "Oh my God." He's dead. He's gone. Like, it just finally hit me, which this is when I was like, I really started thinking about if this whole letter campaign that Gerard Butler had her going on, this emotional scavenger hunt, was a good thing for her. Because now what she's done is she's pissed off her friends.
Mm-hmm.
She has alienated herself. And she has also, I mean, it's great
and
that
she pushed away someone she might have actually had a relationship with.
Yeah,
all these things.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so she... it's good because she found her career, she found her way, but also like it took her, I think it's like a year because him dying happened in like the winter, and then I think we're back in like the summer or the fall.
They're not
now,
real.
It's
they're
been
not real
about a year.
They're not real forthright on time. In
yeah.
this. There's no 6 months later, 3 months later.
Well, it did say winter and then summer, and then like I think it said 3 weeks later at the beginning when she's first grieving. But after that, it's
you
real
can't go
weird.
From winter to
me.
Summer to 3 weeks later. We have
yeah.
to either we're doing time periods
yep.
or we're doing seasons.
Yeah,
you can't
keep me
pick one.
Keep me
yeah.
updated constantly,
consistent.
Or don't
and consistently.
Or, yeah. So, but then I was like, okay, now she's finally realizing it. And it was like a gut check to her because she like held her stomach and then she like immediately ran to her mom and was like, Mom, oh my God, he's dead. Like, you know, so I was like, that's really
yeah,
troublesome.
I would say.
And we found out that Kathy Bates, her mother, was the orchestrator of all of this. You know, she's the mailman. She's been sending him all the stuff. She got the jacket. She put the letter in the jacket and she delivers Gerard Butler's last letter to Hillary Swank at this point.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know why she did this, but that's fine because she's like, oh, I didn't think it was a good idea and he made me do it. And she's like, I just couldn't say no to him and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, so, like,
you
I don't
can't
know.
Refuse a dying man's request like that. That's the thing.
I know. And then it was just like she, and then, but like halfway through the whole thing before the Ireland trip, she was mad and she's like, I think this is silly and you shouldn't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, make up your mind, Mom.
Well, I think she was giving her the choice. She didn't want to be the one to end it.
Yeah, that's true.
Keep it from her. But
yeah,
if she
that's
said,
really
yeah,
true.
I don't want to do this anymore, she would have been like, oh, okay. And never
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, that's really true. So she, Hillary Swank takes, because I think she's like a huge Yankees fan. She goes with Harry Connick Jr. to Yankee Stadium and she is standing on the top of the dugout box.
Yeah.
And she makes Harry Connick Jr. read that last letter to her, which I felt was so fucked up. I felt that was so fucked up.
Jesus, she abused the shit out of this poor Harry Connick Jr. Oh, now you'd like me to read the last letter from your dead husband. Sure, I'm not a person or anything.
Yeah,
I'm not
I've
a
told
human
you,
being.
I've told you 100 times that I love you and I like you and I want to be with you
and
blah, blah,
blah.
A tool
for your emotions,
and
no problem.
And you're just like, hey, yeah, cool. Can you read this letter from... I know you said that you don't want me to bring up Jerry anymore, but do you want to... Will you read this to me even after
yeah.
she already read it? They kiss, but Harry Connick Jr. and Hillary Swank kiss, and then they decide that that's not for them, that they're just good friends, and they was like kissing my brother, it was like kissing my sister, we're so relieved, we're just friends.
Yeah.
Okay. And if I'm being honest, I was actually quite happy that that was how that turned out. Number one, for Harry Connick Jr.'s sake,
yeah.
because she was toying with him. And number two, because I was really happy that the writers decided not to think that I was stupid.
Well, that's the other thing. And Jesus Christ, let's give her a minute to breathe. She can't go from one guy in all these years and dead and then right into some other douchebag.
I was just glad that it wasn't like, oh, and this whole time it's been in front of my face.
Yeah,
like,
that horseshit.
I was happy that it wasn't.
And find
that.
Someone who doesn't work in a fucking bar for once. How about that?
Yeah.
That'd be something.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Jesus Christ.
Now we get a whole montage of Coods and Dennis Duffy that they're married. We get Gina Gershon and Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer that have their baby. Swank has launched her line of shoes, and she's got a nice, successful business.
Horseshit.
And she decides...
Romantic comedy job that doesn't exist in real life.
Is going to take her mom to Ireland, because her mom has never been to Ireland, and... We never bring up that that is her dream. We never bring up. She's just like, yeah, my mom's never been to Ireland. I'm like, yeah, my mom's never been to Ireland either. But
she's probably never been to the Congo either. You're going to take her there afterwards?
Exactly.
I bet she's never been a lot of places. She's been to the Philippines. I'm sure you can go there if she really wanted to.
Yeah. But I did. Oh, yeah. And then Hilary Swank, and she sees Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He's at the house that they're rocking up to. And Kathy Bates and Jeffrey Dean Morgan's dad hit it off.
Of course.
Like a super cliche. But what I did want to talk
about... At least it's not sad. I'll take it at that point, that moment.
Yeah, but what I did want to talk about was that I really feel like Hilary Swank did responsible grieving. She had a meltdown. She went on an adventure because it made her feel good. Whether that was good for her mental health or not, that was what she wanted to do. She wanted to do the emotional scavenger hunt because it made her feel good. And if you're grieving, you should do things that make you feel good, except for like kill people or... do something to harm yourself or others.
A lot of things that feel good are counterproductive to your mental health, though.
So, But that made her feel good. And you know what? It was harmless. It wasn't something that was, whatever. But
it was harmless.
Yeah. She discovered her passion. She doesn't have to do real estate anymore. She doesn't have to hate going to an office every day.
True.
Now she, designs shoes. She can do something that she's proud of. And she's discovered how to live beyond her grieving. So now she's, living with her grief and living beyond her grief. And she is also rekindling a relationship with her mother, which I think is a wonderful thing that you should do. And
sure.
I'm going to take my mom on a vacation.
Great.
One of these days, so that I can properly apologize for being a dipshit teenager.
Good for you.
Hi, Mom. You tell me where you want to go on vacation, because I know she listens to this, because she already had a comment about how it's not a bowl cut, it was a Dorothy Hamill from the last episode. So I know she listens to this, but you should be nice to your mothers, because they love you, despite you being a shithead. Anyway, so that's the end of the movie. It ends on narration, too. She's narrating...
Who knows?
Whatever
Who
she's narrating. I don't know.
Honestly, the second it went to credits, I said, I am fucking out of here. I checked out mentally.
Yeah,
I was done.
It was a terrible movie. And
get out of here.
It was really, really painful. And I didn't know if I was going to make it. I thought it was going to be another two-parter watch for us.
Yeah, it could have been.
Where we need a break. But anyway, that was P.S. I Love You. It was
Jesus Christ.
P.S. That was a pile of poo.
P.S. Where's the razor blade, for fuck's sake, so I can cut
P.S.
my wrist open.
I hope that my husband doesn't die ever.
Why, thank you. I appreciate that
I don't
want to
have a crazy meltdown.
Well, sometimes you need a crazy meltdown. But
I have enough without you dying, so
no,
I don't need to have any more.
Well, now that the movie's done, we watched it, it was horrible. What do we do from here?
Now we go to the fucking Heigl meter.
The Heigl meter?
The Heigl meter is our rating system where we rate our movies on a scale of 0 Heigls to 5 Heigls. 5 Heigls being the most punishing movie you have ever seen in your entire life, and 0 Heigls being not that bad.
Bad. Still bad, though.
But still bad, but just
worthy of
reasonable.
This show, but not as bad as
a 5. Yeah. I will go first this week.
Please.
Since you got to go first last week. I'm going to give this movie 4 Heigls.
4?
It was going to be 5 Heigls,
Jesus.
But I remembered your idea. James says that the only way that this movie could be less sad, more sad, is that at the end of the movie, instead of him saying, P.S. I love you at the end of every letter, it would be, P.S. you have AIDS.
Yes, that's it. P.S. you have AIDS. That's
so
a fact.
That's the only reason why I'm really enjoying that for some reason. I don't know why.
Good
so
Lord.
So that's why I gave it 4 Heigls.
I am going to give this movie 12 Heigls.
12?
12, and that is 1 Heigl for every year it felt like that this fucking movie went on. For the love of Christ. this goddamn movie drug on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and every fucking scene's the same. If I see one more scene where it starts out with her laughing at Kudrow's cock rabbit and ends with her crying and seeing visions of Gerard Butler with the whole rest of the room cleared, I'm sorry. She's seeing visions. At this point, she either has a neurological problem or a severe psychotic disorder.
She needs a lot of help. She needs to see a therapist.
Gershon and Kudrow and Kathy Bates are not prepared to deal with this kind of mental disorder. Holy shit.
If Gerard Butler wanted to help her out, he should have signed her up for a grief counselor.
The only way this could have been, that's what I'm saying. The only way this could have been less painful is if it was shorter and it just punished you till the fucking end. 12 Heigls, eat dicks. I wanted to stick needles in my eyes. Hate you movie. Okay.
Hate you movie. All right. Well, that was.
P.S. I love you.
That was P.S. I love you.
P.S.
And,
you have AIDS. P.S.
Yay. Yeah. James said that, yeah, he thought that the last one should have been P.S. You have AIDS.
P.S. I died of AIDS and you got it now.
But he died of a brain tumor, and I think that we forgot that the first time. And I think that he was like, how did he die? And
I don't remember.
And I think he said, did he have AIDS?
Yeah, I was like, hey, what happened? I don't know why I thought that, but maybe he had AIDS. I don't know. How else do the Irish die? The Irish don't die of AIDS, but a car accident from being drunk?
Liver failure. Yeah.
See, I have no
idea.
Potato famine. I don't know why you'd kill an Irishman. I'm not sure. Hey, I have an idea.
What?
I was wondering, I'm asking you this. What can those people, because there's people out there, what can they do to help us out if they want to be cool people and help us out? Anything at all possible?
Well, they can send me gummy bears or like peach rings.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. You're not asking about that. You guys can give us 5 stars, rate and review on iTunes. Again, we don't care about the review part. Just sign in. I know that it takes 30 seconds. Give us 5 stars. If you want to reach us on social media, you can. We're on Twitter and Facebook at You Got Heigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD. And that's on Facebook and Twitter. If you want to reach me on Twitter, it is at Sarah H is funny, SARAHH is funny. And by the way, I did not take James's last name.
Yes, you did. No,
I
not in real life.
I did take his Twitter last name.
Yes, in real life she kept hers.
So we are the Is Funnies.
Yes, and I am at Jimmy P Is Funny, and I was there first, and then she took that also.
Ha-ha.
And yes, you can find me there or try to copy and paste my last name from the show description. And really do help us out on those iTunes reviews. They help out a ton. They drive you up the charts. They mean everything to us. This is a... We watch these movies for free, and we punish ourselves, so that's the way you can help us out, and we would really, really appreciate that.
Also, we really loved we noticed that we got a bunch of reviews while we were gone, obviously.
Thank you for that.
You guys missed us, and also we've been getting a lot of reviews since we've been back, so that's really great. We were really high on the charts last week,
whenever the episode first came out,
so that was really cool.
It's
Thank you guys so much. And I promise it'll be on Spotify and everything. I filled out all the stuff for that. We were really lazy with it the last time, but now that we have time, I'll make sure that that stuff is all on there. So I know that you guys are like, when is it going to be on Spotify? That's where I listen to all my podcasts.
We're hustling. I'm sorry.
I am but one person.
We are hustling, guys. We'll make it happen. Don't worry.
But yeah, thank you guys so much. Get your Gershon. Send us some reviews. Like us and all that stuff on Twitter and let us know about all of your cool movies and let us know what you guys think. Hang out with us every Friday.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.